Well, let's take our Bible this morning. We're going to look into the book of Ephesians today as we think about the year coming to an end and looking forward with an anticipation toward a new year. I'd like for us to turn to Ephesians chapter number 1 today. And I titled this message today, Let's Get Going. Let's Get Going. As we look into this letter that Paul wrote to the believers there in Ephesus, he's encouraging them. As you think about the church there at Ephesus, of course, the Apostle Paul being the founder there, going with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, this church, this people is mentioned twice in the Bible, this particular church. John wrote to the church in the book of the Revelation. And we saw there, and looking at the seven churches, this was one of the seven churches. And the problem, again, they had at that time, they needed to return. They needed to get back involved with what they were to be doing. I'll give it a little background on the matter that you remember Paul had started the church. Timothy had gone there. The Apostle John had pastored the church at Ephesus at some point in time. So think about this church with two apostles having been there, Paul and John, under sound teaching and sound preaching. And of course, Paul had said to the elders there, he called the elders down from Ephesus as he was making his way to Jerusalem in the book of Acts, and he warned them of the dangers that was surrounding the church, and not only that church, but the work of the Lord. And I've given us a little background because you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, as a church, those same dangers are around us. We look back over time and we say, well, we made it through another year. And it's kind of sort of like, whew. But we made it through by the grace of God. God did a lot for us in 2024, and we've still got a few days left. But let's look forward with anticipation. What does the Lord have for us in 2025? What can we gain from the understanding of God's Word? And that's what we want to look at this morning, is to look into God's Word and think about what He has for us, who we are in Christ, and what can He do in and through us. That's what we need to think about. Someone said the pessimist, you understand, the pessimist is always sees the problem. There's always something wrong with everything. And the optimist, they see something beyond the problem. They're looking for a better day, a better fix, beyond whatever the problem is. And then the realist sees how to make something of the problem and go forward. And that's what I would like for us to do, is to think about it. Maybe some of the things that we did not accomplish that we would like to have done. And don't see that as a weight to hold us back. But let's, if you would, look at the problem and see the potential in the problem. What have we learned from it? Can we go forward and make headway and good success with the things ahead of us? So we find here now the Apostle Paul writing to the believers at Ephesus. He said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, this is one of the longest running sentences in the Bible. Now as we pick up and go forward to verse 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. That's a lot said there, but there's a lot to take from that. There's a lot to apply to our lives. There's a lot to look into and to think about who we are in Christ. Let's go to the Lord once again in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the recorded Word of God, whereby that we can read it, dear Lord. We can hear your Word. We can have the Holy Spirit to guide our thoughts in what has been said. Your word hasn't changed. The needs haven't changed, and the day hasn't changed, dear Lord. We're needy people today just as they were in that day. And I pray, dear God, that you would help us to see that with you, by your word and your spirit, by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have great days ahead. We have a home in heaven. We have the assurance of salvation. We have the promises of God to lead us and to help us in times of struggle, in times of discouragement. And Father, we thank you today, Lord, that we can look into your word, that you would have your will and way in each and every heart today. And Father God, that we would look forth with great anticipation to this year ahead, to the things that you have for each of us to do. Lord, that we would go forward and to please you with what we do and how we do your will. And we pray and ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And now we see the Apostle Paul again writing to those who were somewhat not using their ability as God had given them. As a matter of fact, and think with me, what he's doing is he's encouraging these believers in their walk of faith, who they are in the Lord. And oftentimes we fall into the same condition, if you would, as believers, if we're not careful. We look at the circumstances that surround us. We think about maybe what's been said to watch out for, the negative things that Paul had said back in the book of Acts. He had warned them that there was problems. And people, we don't have to look for problems today. This world is full of problems. But what we have to do and how we address the problems is with the help of God, that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Now, that may be something in your life or my life that we were discouraged about in this past year, but that shouldn't bring us or stall us or hinder us from going forward into a new year with great anticipation. Sometimes we learn, as I said, it's through the storms of life that we learn lessons. We learn how to negotiate. We learn how to go through things. We learn how to trust the Lord even when we can't see him, and yet we find later that it works out according to his will. And in that, of course, it's a learning process. So having said that, as we look forward, you know, again, they were rich and we are as well at Ephesus, but they couldn't see that. And people today are in the same condition. They are those who are physically rich and they live like paupers. And then there are those who are spiritually rich, and all of us are rich in Christ, but yet we don't see that. We see that, again, the devil wants us to focus on the negative things, the things that's not going right. Why isn't this working when we should focus on what God has done and what He's doing? You know, there's nothing greater than salvation. Think about that just a moment. To be delivered from the consequences of sin, already saved, as a saved, born-again believer, we've been judged by the Lord. Our sins have been judged on Calvary through the Lord Jesus Christ. God has judged us according to His Son's work, and we're sinless before the Father, positionally. Now, we are still sinners. We live in a world, again, with problems, and we are apt to sin again. But that sin is not going to separate us from God the Father for eternity. That sin problem has been dealt with positionally. Now, in practice of sin, we're to confess our sins. We're not to just let them pile up or heap up. We should call sin, sin. We should look out for what causes sin. We should be on guard against those things that may hinder us from serving the Lord or cause us to step aside or to stop moving for the Lord. And recognize what they are and deal with that. Now, if there's something that's continually coming back to us and we're not learning, we need to ask the Lord to help us. What is it? Why can't we overcome whatever this problem may be? It may be something that has gone on for years. But there's power in the Word of God. There's power in the Holy Spirit to bring us in and through that. And thinking with me again, God redeemed His people out of the land of Egypt, and yet they wandered for 40 years in unbelief. They're born again people today who have trusted the Lord for salvation. They've tasted the goodness of the Lord, but they're wandering around aimlessly in life. You ask them, well, what do you have on the horizon? What's on your agenda? And then again, we've got a new year coming. What are you planning on doing this year with your life? What are you planning on doing this year with your life for the Lord? Now, the Lord saved you. He saved me. He saved us for a purpose, and that purpose is to serve Him. How are we going to serve the Lord in this coming year? I think God would give us a heart to serve Him if we were to give ourselves to Him and ask Him for that. Lord, what can I do for You this year? What would You have me to do for You? That would be a good question. Lord, what would You have for me to do for You this year? I surrender myself to You. I surrendered myself to You at salvation. I belong to You. I'm Your servant. What would You have me to do? And seek the things of God. We sang earlier, just prior to Sunday school, seek ye the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. That's what the Lord Jesus said. So we need to seek the Lord in His direction. I don't know, but sometimes I've had things where I tried to do it my way, and then it didn't work, and I said, okay, Lord, how would You have me to do it? And I learned that this is how God wants it done. So it's always a learning process. The people at Ephesus, again, rich in the things of God, and we'll see this, we are as well, but living like beggars. If you're not going somewhere forward or moving, something's wrong. Something's wrong. If you were to get on a train, so to speak, think with me, or a bus or whatever, and you got on this vehicle that was to carry you from point A to point B, and we sat down, and they came out and maybe gave you drinks or snacks or whatever, and you look out the window and nowhere, and nothing's moving, and they come along later and say, would you like to be served again? And you say, no. When are we going to leave the station? Well, we're working on that. And you wonder, is there a problem with the engine? There's a problem with what? After a while, in a number of days maybe, it's time to hop off. Something's wrong. If we're not moving the way that we should be moving, and there's nothing passing the window, folks, there's a problem somewhere. And maybe we're trying to do things of our own or in our own self, and nothing's happening. So we need to leave that and get with the Lord. get with the one who's working and directs our life. This is what Paul said. He's an apostle according to the will of God. An apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. In other words, God is working through this man. Paul doesn't know the breadth of his life like you and I do. Paul at this time writing to Ephesus, of course he's in prison. This is, by the way, one of the prison epistles that Paul wrote on his first imprisonment. And then he was released, and then he was arrested again, of course, and they took his life. But Paul didn't know that. Paul has been arrested. He's in prison, and he's writing to encourage people who are free. Think with me again this morning about the goodness of the Lord. I don't know where we are at this very moment in our life, but our health this morning. As far as I know, most of us have good health. We don't know what lies ahead in 2025, but we're not going to look down that and say, well, you know, something could happen. Paul didn't do that. He's not looking, well, I'm arrested, and I may be arrested again. I don't know how I'm going to leave or what. Paul is looking at that day, in that hour, at that time. And folks, that's really what we need to do, isn't it? We need to live each day to the fullest and live it to the Lord. So he sees that this is God's will, being arrested and put in prison. Paul said, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Is it God's will that he's in prison? Evidently so. And he's writing to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Paul uses this term repeatedly, more than 30 times now in this letter, in Christ Jesus. You and I are in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's grace, and that's God giving to us what we do not deserve. God is so good, he continues to give us the things that we need when we don't even ask for them so many times. So many times God just, he gives us blessings along the way, and we don't even see that. It's the grace of the Lord. Sometimes we look after the fact and say, you know, by the grace of God, I wasn't hurt in that accident. Or by the grace of God, I made this flight. Or by the grace of God, this didn't happen. But God is always extending to us grace and mercy. And that's what the Apostle Paul said. It's by the grace of God and peace from God. Peace from God. You know, we're living again, I said, in a world of somewhat turmoil today. We wonder what this year is going to bring. Not looking back and being pessimistic, but the world and the condition of things in the world. Look at the nation of Israel. Look at the wars, the wars and rumors of wars that we're living in today in this world in which we're living. And now we have a new leader going into position in just a few days, matter of fact. Less than a month. And the world's already wondering, what is this leader going to do? How is he going to work with us? That's what the world wants to know. Well, I want to tell you, we have a leader that's over all of the leaders. And he's in charge of everything. And according to his will, it's going to work out right. We may say, well, if I'd have had my will, I'd have had it. But we don't have it. It's his will. Our will becomes his will. And that's what Paul wants these people to see. That God has given us these things. We have peace. By the way, that word in the Greek tense is an aorist tense, which means it's not peace. It's like peace. When you were saved, you have peace. Your sins have been forgiven. You should know that. You should know that you have been forgiven. You've been justified. There's peace in your heart. And that same peace will take you through eternity. It's a one-time thing. Peace at conversion with benefits that last forever. The peace of God. The peace of God. Some people say, I just wish I had the peace I had when I trusted the Lord. It's there. It's there. The peace is there. Let the Lord, again, remind you of his goodness. Blessed, he said, in verse number 3, be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We are a blessed people. We have blessings here on this earth, you and I. We have friendship, we have family, we have homes. Folks, we have food on our shelves or in the closet, pantry, what? We are a blessed people today. We have clothing. Thank the Lord we've had heat on these cold days. There's some today without power. There's some today without homes with the storms that came through Texas yesterday. And God only knows what in and through the wee hours of the morning haven't seen the news. But we are a blessed people. God has blessed us. We are blessed in this life as you and I live it temporary. And then we have the eternal blessings of God that are yet to be seen. This is what he says about this. He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You know, we can read as we've gone through the book of the Revelation and we've seen some of the things of God. In the latter chapters of the book, it talks about the New Jerusalem and the things in heaven. But there are things that the Bible doesn't speak of. There are things that you and I are going to see, that we're going to experience, that God has in store for his children, and we are a blessed people. According, he says in verse number 4, as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. This is the work of the Lord. He chose us. Election. Somebody said, that's a big word that gets me confused. Not really when you think about it. God chose you. God chose me. He said, whosoever will, let him come to the water and drink freely, the Lord said. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. It's he chose us, and we respond. He chose us to be saved. We respond to the message of salvation. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He has chosen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he hath chosen us as according, he said, according as he hath chosen us. Now he's talking about God in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Now, this is the work of the Lord, the Father. He's done this, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. This predestinating, God took the initiative in this adoption process. We've got to think about the adoption process, and I'm not that familiar with it, but I have had some friends that have adopted children, and I know some people that have been adopted. The person that is going to be adopted, of course, the one that chooses, that person has made a decision to take a child in. They want this person. We don't know who they are today. The adoption service, from best I understand, is you put your name on a list. They don't say, now, here are the choices. And by the way, look at their lifestyle. No, that's not in the process. The process is my wife and I have chosen to adopt. And whosoever is on the list, and where can we find a list, by the way? I think that's a lot in the adoption process anymore, is trying to find a place where there is a list of adoptable children, those that would like to have a home, a secure home. Well, think about the Lord. He opened the door to the adoption. He adopted us in our sin. He didn't wait for us to clean up our life. He has given us a choice, if you'll do thus. But he said, whosoever will. And he has adopted us. And as the adopted parent, or the father, if you would, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been adopted, he says, the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. It's his will that we would be his children, all of us. As a little song said years ago, red, yellow, black, and white. They're all precious in his sight. Doesn't matter. By the way, age doesn't have anything to do with it. It's not, well, I'm too old now to be adopted. No, you're at any age you can be brought into this process, but you come in as a child. Why? Because you don't know the things of God. You may be old in as far as age is concerned, but knowing the things of God, you're very young. You come in to the birthing process, born again. You hear of Christ, you trust in him, you put your faith in him, and now as whatever age person you are, you're adopted into the family of God. and He's going to take care of you. He has placed that responsibility upon Himself before the foundation of the world. That goes back prior to creation. He did these things. He saw that you and I, this is God, He saw through the annals of time that you and I would be born. He chose us to follow Him. He wants all who would to come to know Him. He gives us the free will, if you would, to select or to choose His way, to choose Him as our leader, as our father, as our adoptive parent. And by being adopted by faith in Jesus Christ, now we have become sons of God, children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. You see, the Lord Jesus, He took, if you would, our sinful nature and all of our sins upon Himself, and He made us fit to be His children. Think about that. He has clothed us in righteousness. He took those filthy garments, our unrighteousness, He took that upon Himself, and He's clothed us. He feeds us with His bread, the Word of God, the Word of life. He takes care of our needs. And as a child grows and they see the goodness of the Father, and they bless the Lord, how can we not praise the Lord today for the things that He's done for us? How is it that we sometimes in our selfish manner look at the things that we don't have, or the things that we didn't get, or the things we wish we could have done, and then not trust the Lord? That's being very selfish. And when we think about that, let's put those things behind us as we think about maybe this year or any other year. Those things that maybe we're still trying to run after and say, you know, evidently it's not God's will that it's what I would do, or what I would be, or where I'll go. And let's leave it to the Father and say, okay, Lord, what is Your will for my life? What is Your will for me in 2025? Let's get on with it. Let's say, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever it is that You want me to do, and I'm going to trust You in faith and step out to Your promises and let You have Your will in my life and move forward, He says. So, and this is according to His good pleasure and according to His grace that He has made us accepted in the Beloved. In other words, He has taken us in. He has brought us into His family. And we are accepted in His sight for who He is. God did the work. Then He goes on to say in verse number 7, how that the Son, Jesus Christ, in His part in this, in whom we have redemption through His blood, and forgiveness, or the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. So again, this is by His grace, and this is according to the riches of His grace, whereby we've been redeemed. We've been brought back and bought back to God. You and I have the same, thinking about the nation of Israel. God redeemed them. And He, in the book of Joshua, they make it into the promised land. They've got the blessings of God. And this is kind of sort of what Paul is saying here. You've been redeemed. Now Israel goes into the very promised land that God has promised them. But did they get what God wanted them to have? Think with me just a moment. Did Israel receive the blessings of God when they went into the land of Canaan? Remember, God said, I'm going to prepare this land. You're going to have houses to live in. You're going to have vineyards. You're going to have all of these things that you didn't plant. If they're there, what do you need to do? Trust Me and walk by faith. This is the same thing we have today. We have the blessings of God. We're living here today. God wants to use us. He wants us. But we have to do something. We've got to move, folks. And faith is what we're saying. Take the faith, not in unbelief, but believing faith and going forward with this. We've been redeemed. We have been forgiven. Our sins have been forgiven according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Folks, we're not wandering around in the wilderness wondering where we're going. We already know where we're going. One of these days we're going out. One of these days we're going to be in the very presence of the Lord. But right now, He's using us in this world. He is using you and me to be servants, to bring others to faith in His Son, Jesus Christ. That's our position. You may think, I work at so-and-so. God wants you to be a light at that place. You may say, well, I travel here, I do this, I'm in this group of people. God has allowed you to be there for a purpose, and that's your purpose, is to please Him wherever you are. This is what He's looking and telling us. We have been forgiven according to His grace, and He goes on to say, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And we have been made known the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in Him. So He's going to bring, in this matter of time, God is working right now to bring things together. He's going to bring the salvation is going to come to an end. One day we've seen it again in the book of the Revelation. Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth. Those who have trusted the Lord are going to be called up and called up to be with Him before God pours out His wrath. There will be some that come to faith in Him, but they're going to live through a hard time. And we wouldn't want anybody to do that. We're to give out a testimony. We're to show let our light shine to bring people to the Lord. And then this whole matter is going to come to an end. We're going to go into the thousand-year reign with the Lord Jesus Christ, this dispensation in Christ. And then, of course, we'll go into eternal state forever with the Lord. And He says this, both in which in heaven and which on earth, even in Him, this is going to be gathered together in one, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. What about the inheritance of the Lord? You say, well, I have salvation. But what about the service of the Lord? Working out our salvation, receiving the rewards from the Lord for the things that we do, winning others to Christ, giving a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord, giving to those who are poor, helping those along the way, increasing, if you would, the name of the Lord as well as the benefits for the believer here. We have obtained an inheritance. Again, being predestinated, God did this according to His purpose, who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. That's again, the church. God is working through the church today. This age of grace that we're speaking of, before the rapture, before we called out, God is working through this age today in your life and mine. People, if we don't do it, who's going to do it? If you and I don't do the work of the Lord, who's going to do it? He called us with a specific purpose. He equips us. He gives us the ability. So what we need to do is look at, what do you want me to do, Lord? Let's get it, and let's get going with it. Let's go forward. This may be the last year, 2025. And again, not our ability, but He's given us the ability. We have the promises of God. This is the work of the Lord Jesus. And then look at verse 13 and 14 here with the work of the Holy Spirit. He said, in whom also ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. By the way, this, you see, the work of the will of the Father and the work of the Son, and now it's the witness of the Holy Spirit. We saw this in the book of Hebrews just a few weeks back. Isn't it amazing how God has a will, Jesus does His work, and then the Holy Spirit witnesses through us. And this is what He's doing. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And until the day of redemption, he says, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. It's just like part of thinking about a pledge being made, the earnest. God has said, you're my children, you're my son. Here's a little taste of that. We just have a little pledge of that, the earnest of the Holy Spirit. We don't have it all as of yet, but one day we're going to see the benefits of all of it. But you're a child of a king. I'm a child of the king. And we have the Holy Spirit that has sealed us. Nothing can get to us apart from the will of the Father. And we are in Christ. Think about that just a moment. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm in my Father. He's in the Father. And we're in Him. He's in the Father. And we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. How can Satan get to us, folks? He can't do it. He could get to our minds, and by the end of the book, by the way, chapter 6, he's talking about that. Equip yourself so you don't lose sight of that. Shield of faith, sword of the Spirit, helmet of salvation. How does he get to us? We know these things. We have to apply it. This is what he's saying. We have been sealed. God has a plan for your life, a plan for my life, and we need to seek the Lord. Let me encourage you to read the Word of God. If you can do it in a year, get with it and do it. If it takes you 2 years to read through it, start. Don't say, well, I got bogged down in First Chronicles. Don't do that. Just keep reading. Just keep going. You may be surprised. I didn't understand that. Just keep going. Stay with it, because there's enough in here that will tell you, and there's enough in here that you can glean. There's enough in here that the Holy Spirit will quicken to your mind and heart and say, this is the way, walk in it. How many of you, no show of hands, have said, I'm going to read through the Bible in a year, and if you be honest with God today, you didn't make it. How many times have you said, I'm going to read through the Bible? Not in a year, but 2 years, didn't make it. There's no reason to stop. I want to encourage you. Let's go forward. Let's go forward with the Word of God. Let's read it. Some people, you know, they read so much every day. And by the way, I think it's a good exercise. It's a good practice. I say this to the glory of the Lord. He put it on my heart one time. I heard a man say, you know, I read through a chapter of Proverbs every day. I said, I need to do that. That's not reading through the Bible every year, but that's a challenge. I said, I'm going to take that challenge to the glory of God. I know for the last 25 years I've done it. And I thought about that. That's you're talking about going through the Bible, going through the book of Proverbs at least, you know, 52 times a year. You put the pencil to it. 25 years, about 300 times. And I'm not saying that's plenty of stuff in there that I need to go back and I read it again, same chapter, next month, same day, and I'm thinking, okay, what is this? What is it saying to me? What can I get out of this? What's the Lord saying? And the Lord will bring it to mind. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, and that's what He does, He brings to mind the things of God at the time that we need it. He will put a song in your heart. He'll put a thought in your mind right when you need the way. He'll say, this is the way, walk in it. Lord, what should I do? Is it this job? Is it another job? Is it this home? Is it this car? Is it whatever it is? And leave it to the Lord. Let Him guide you. And folks, I promise you, according to the things of God, He will glorify Himself through the answer if we'll seek Him in His goodness. Let's stand together today as we think about this year again coming to an end, going forward in the things of God. Let it be a challenge today to our minds and hearts, Lord, that we would seek Your will. Seek Ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Lord, what is it that You have for me this coming year, Lord? What can I do to be a blessing to others, to be a blessing to You? Lord, I want to be a blessing to this church family, to my family, my children, my friends. Lord, I want to win people to the Lord Jesus Christ this year. Let it start in my heart, at my home, and then go out to the neighborhood, maybe to other countries. Lord, however you can do your will best through us. Father, we love you today. We pray, Holy Spirit, now that you'd have your will in each and every heart. And we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.